As a Christian, we know that hell exists. And as a Christian, we also know we don't have to go there, and that we're not going to go there, and that we don't have to sweat it. But because we are called by God to rightly divide His word, it is left then up to the Christians, the church, to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And let them know, yes, heaven is as real as hell is. Hell is as real as heaven. The reason we have so much about hell in Scripture is it always has been God's way of telling us nobody has to go there. Hell was not created for the human race. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. So therefore, in order to get there, you have to choose and work hard at it. You all will remember John Lennon, the former Beatle. He had a smash hit in the early 1970s with a song that included these words: "Imagine there's no heaven. It is easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky." Imagine there is no heaven, no hell. Well, imagine mankind existing without any kind of guidelines for the human race. Even the animals have guidelines. Even the instinct of animals. As they said, the dumb animals. Well, sometimes those dumb animals are a lot smarter than humans, or act like it anyway. That's exactly what many people say today. There is no hell. I want us to share the heaven's view of hell. We're going to look at Scripture and share heaven's view of hell. Questions. Number one. Is there really a place called hell? Number two, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? And these are people that don't believe in hell. If you don't believe in hell, how are you going to believe in a loving God? Anyway, who will go to hell and why will they go to hell? All right, let's look at them. First of all, I want us to look at Matthew 5:22. And verses 28 through 30. 5:22, and then verses 28 through 30. Now, let me lay the groundwork for you on this. Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees here. The Pharisees, extremely legalistic in all that is going on, right? So Jesus is talking to them. And saying, what? And now he's talking about, when you see the court system and all of this in this passage, he's talking to the Pharisees about theirs. None of this is in heaven. This court system doesn't exist in heaven. He's talking to them about theirs. He's throwing it right back at them is what he's ending up doing here. So let's read it. "But I say to you," he's saying, okay, you Pharisees over there getting cocky with me, thinking you know it all, but I'm telling you this. "Everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court." He's saying this from the legal standpoint of their legalism, of their legal soul. He's throwing this right at them. Got it? "And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court." There is no Supreme Court in heaven. Again, this is not a spiritual speech he's giving them. He's letting them know that you are taking your laws and you're pushing them down the throats of the human beings. I have come to save and I've completed the law. Therefore, you make all this stuff up so you can control the human race. And he says, now, this is what's going on. So, the one who says you good for nothing shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Jesus says hell exists. "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He said, now let me tell you about the truth about God's love and God's law. It says, even your thoughts will betray you. Even your thoughts make you guilty of sin. The thinking process. So he's saying, you people, you don't have to do it. Your thoughts are as guilty. Again, he's pointing at you, the Pharisees. Said, your all thoughts give you away. He knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. He knew they didn't believe he was who he says he is and who he really is, the Son of God. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. Now, does that really sound like a law that God has told you to do? My right eye drives me nuts sometimes. I am not tearing it out. Yep, I'm just going to let it just keep going nuts over here. But I am not going to pluck it out from me because it is a physical thing. It's what he is saying now. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell, isn't it? Pharisees believed in a hell. Said, isn't it better for you to do that? Oh, if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. I do not remember anywhere in Scripture, Brother Randy, to where one of these Pharisees cut their hand off because it was offensive. Now, they were guilty of having other people's hands cut off, but not their own. You know, my hand is fine. Let's cut yours off. Think of that. That's the way the Pharisee thinking was. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now, he said, now, I'm reasoning with you Pharisees. Well, what you're telling these people, I want you to think of it this way. I know your heart. I know your thoughts. I know who you are. And you're bound for that place called hell. Leave the people alone. All Jesus was very defensive. You know why? They misused God's word. They would say, for God has willed it. And everybody was supposed to say, oh, okay. Well, the Pharisees said God willed it, so it must be from God. And Jesus is saying, it has no part of me. Just listen. Of the 1,850 verses in the New Testament that record the words of Jesus, 13% of them deal with the subject of hell and judgment. Jesus talked more about hell than any other topic. Woo! Do you know he talked more about hell than love? Than any other topic. Yes. Talked more about hell than any other topic. His whole focus on it was, it's real and you don't have to go there. His whole teaching taught, yes, it's real, but you don't have to go there. Whoever calls on me, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You don't have to worry about it. It was all a focus of telling people, yes, it's real, but you don't have to sweat it. All you have to do is call on me. Of the 40 parables that Jesus told, more than half of those parables relate to the concept of hell and God's eternal judgment. Huh. The strongest biblical word for hell is Gehenna. Now, I would get Hebraic and Greek, but I can't. I can't go Gehenna. Gehenna. Because I'm going to spit on this crew right here to the right or to the left. So we will use a local colloquial phrase, Gehenna. Is that okay with you all? I know it's okay with you two girls because you're close. Okay. It is used 12 times in Scripture, and 11 times Jesus was the speaker. Now, Gehenna. describes the eternal destiny of people who spend eternity without God. The Valley of Hinnom, south of Jerusalem, it was used as a garbage dump where both trash and the bodies of executed criminals were buried. Can't you imagine that odor coming out of there when it set them on fire? Old Testament days, the place of Hinnom, the Valley of Hinnom, in the Old Testament, that's where the Molech worship was. That's where children were sacrificed to the god Molech. Children were burned alive, sacrificing them to the god Molech. So this same valley now, picture it this way. Jesus is walking by. His disciples are with him. He's in the valley, and he looks at the valley, and he looks at them, and he says, "My Father in heaven has a place like this." Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom. It's a place called hell. My Father has a garbage dump. Right now, boys, you've been following me. You need to understand. You'll never see it. You'll never have to go there. I'll never smell the stench of Gehenna because I'm a Christian. Won't reach it. But God says, I got a place. And I guarantee you, you don't want to go there. Now, let's go to page 3. Hell is a place of unspeakable, incomparable anguish and sorrow. You've always heard that, haven't you? Well, it is. Fiery furnace, Matthew 13:42. And God will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you got to remember something, Christian. This is why it's so important for us to lead people to Christ, to invite them, to give them the good news, because hell is real. Hell is real. That's why it's so important for us to tell people how they don't have to go there. Fiery furnace in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Huh. Now, wait a minute. The fire is so hot that it burns continuously. Yet the people in hell still have their teeth. They're still in the human condition, and they feel the pain, but they cannot die. That it's a continual pain of wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'll never have to hear that sound. Can you imagine having to hear the sound even? I'll never have to hear it. I've been given the picture by God himself, so I know the horrors of it based on God's word, but I also know the rest of the story. Nobody has to go there. Yes. Praise him. Listen. Physical pain. Whoa. Physical pain. But what about if you're dead, you're dead. You know, you just, nothing is there. If you're dead, you're dead. Yet God says, his word tells us, deals with physical pain. You and I, when you die, spiritually you're automatically taken right before that body hits the floor. You're in heaven. You're with Christ. You're in paradise. What word paradise? I don't care. I know it's where Jesus is. I'm fine with it. Got it? So I'm immediately with him. Not so with the lost. The person who does not know Christ does not have that protection. They are eternally dying but never able to die. They're eternally wanting to die, but they can't die because they're in the physical body. You and I, for that period of time, will be in the spiritual body. We will be with Christ, and we will come back with him as he come for the church, and you're going to see the grave where you're buried. And you're going to zap right on down, and the Lord's going to call the dust right back out. He's going to reform you in what is known as the glorified body, which is a body that Jesus has. Same glorified body that Jesus has. It did not, we hear this morning that God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. That's what he says. So you get the same body that Jesus has, the glorified body that lives throughout eternity. You know, they're talking about going to Mars. I get so excited. And, you know, they're going to start setting up stations on the moon and permanent stations to hop to Mars. And here we are, Gene, me and you, flying around in a glorified body from planet to planet, seeing all of God's creation, looking at the foolishness of the human race. So God lets us know there's a reason for you to get excited about what my son has done for you. There's a reason, and that reason is the world is dying and going to hell, and that is a place where they will spend eternity begging for the rocks and the mountains. They're in a physical human body that won't die. And we're in a glorified body that can't be killed, and we don't want it to be because we're with Christ. All right. That physical pain, Revelation 20:10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also. Yeah, boy, that sounds like a great place for a vacation, doesn't it? You got all of the pure evil right there in one spot. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. You can't be tormented if you did. Forever. All right. Relational isolation. The same ones who make up these songs and write about, you know, I'm going to hell and I'm going to party with my friends. For one thing, you go to hell, you're not going to have any friends there. And another thing is, you're not going to know because you're in isolation. You're in solitary confinement and total pain. There's not going to be a party. There's going to be pain and agony. And for what? Because you rejected love. Doesn't that sound sort of foolish? Christ, yes, Christ comes and he says, I'm going to take all your sins on that cross. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to put my arms around you. I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to carry you when you can't walk. And I give you this. All you need to do is just believe in me. And man says no. They refuse to accept a free gift from God Almighty. The most awesome gift that's ever been offered anywhere. His only begotten son. Jesus said, I'll take it all for you because I love you. And he did. And that's why the pain is so horrible. That's why hell is so horrible. God says it's sort of like you taking your foot and stepping on the blood of Christ. Meaning, to do that is to mean that it doesn't mean anything. It's useless. It's no good. And that kind of love that we would reject. Now, Matthew 25:30. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness. Remember going to Mammoth Cave or one of the caves and they turn out all the lights? And you're wanting to find a rock so you can throw it at the idiot that turned the light out. But you can't see anything in total darkness, can you? You can't see anything. Yeah, yeah. Well, in those days, I just pulled out a cigar and lit it. But I didn't do that. But think of it. Total darkness. But you will hear what's going on in hell. Remember, you're still in a physical body that won't die. But again, relate back to people that are in so much pain they give anything to die. They look forward to death. I've been at the bedside of way too many that was looking forward to dying. You know, I'm so tired of living in this hell. This body, I'm so tired of the hurt and the pain. No, they don't. So, eternal punishment. Matthew 25:46. Man, I don't have to worry about that. Jesus took all my punishment. Now, as ornery as I am and have been in life, Jesus took the punishment of every ornery human being that would ever exist. Whoever said, I believe, he said, I got your punishment. You and I couldn't even handle the punishment that we deserve on our own. Jesus took everybody's punishment on him because he said, I love you. And Jesus don't take love as just a word. He takes love as a commitment. He takes love as a relationship totally, that he's going to take it all for you. You talk about a blanket. Folks, we have been wrapped in the blanket of the blood of Christ. And in that blanket of the blood of Christ, no pain will ever, ever enter. I'll be free. Right now, all I got is human pain. Big deal. Suck it up and go on, Marine. You know, that's just the way life goes. But if I were to ask anybody in here got any aches and pain, we'd be here all night, you telling about it. And if I could ever shut up about my own long enough to let you tell about it. But think of an eternity like that, when it doesn't have to be. That's what gets me. Nobody has to go to hell. You got to work hard. I was telling Faye, was driving around town. Gosh, we drove all over the country Saturday. And I was driving around and had to laugh again coming back into E-Town. And I said, you know, I was right. I don't care. Everybody laughed at me all they wanted. Folks, do you realize how hard you got to work to go to hell if you live in Hardin County? We have a church on every corner. Yes, that's right. That's right. You can stop in and get you a pop and go to church. The younger people don't know what a pop is, do they? Oh, I better not use that term. That doesn't mean the same today. Anyway, think about it. Church on every corner. You got somebody preaching everywhere. So you got to work to keep from hearing the word. Here it is, Matthew 25:46. These, those who walk the blood of Christ, is what he's talking about. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You got that? The Lord says, you're going into eternal life. They're going into eternal punishment. Warn them. Warn them. Hell is the only place in the universe where there is no hope. Only place where there is no hope. No, nobody's going to pray you out of hell. Yes, it is. Yeah. Why wouldn't I want to choose love? What is wrong with the individual? I'll tell you what's wrong. It's called sin. Sin to the bone. Sin that is so ravaging the heart of man. Now, it takes a special type of sin to mock the blood of anyone, does it not? I've been around stabbings and been stabbed. I've been around all of this kind of stuff, folks. But I hurt for the victim of crimes. I hurt for the victim of their own ignorance, the criminal that ends up getting shot or cut up themselves when they're trying to. I still hurt for that individual because that's a living, breathing soul. And I don't want him to go to hell. do not want them to go to hell. And the blood, the sight of blood anymore really bothers me. Didn't used to. My goodness, I went through everything with that kind of stuff. And walk in any situation and no problem, not anymore. I really have a problem with it. And I cannot stand to even read an article about a child that's been mutilated or any of that. And then I'm listening to the TV about the guy that he's not going to get the death penalty now, that killed his girlfriend and cannibalized her, ate her after he killed her. I thought, what is our society coming to?
They
were not going to electrocute him. But he, think of that. We're living in a land where they're cannibalized people they kill. I think that's still illegal to do that. Might not be in California, but it's illegal in the rest of the United States. Page 4. The character of God demands the necessity of hell. That's why hell is real. The character of God demands the necessity of hell. Okay. So what's going on in the communities? Crime is rampant. Why? Because there's no punishment for it. There's no penalty for it. You commit the crime, you know good and well that you're going to get out of it. You know good and well that nobody's going to do anything. So what do? They take our children. They take the kids. They have the kids go steal for them, the adults do, knowing and telling the kids they can't lock you up because you're a juvenile. And so where there is no punishment, then there is no fear of committing the crime. And so therefore, God is the one who said, does the Bible say that speak favorably of a death sentence for those who have broken the law? Yes. I started saying the electric chair. They didn't use electric chairs then. But yes, the penalty for that is death. Sure. Sure. There are some people who give up their right to live in a free society. Their actions make them give it up. They either lock them up or their life is taken. If they have shed man's blood, then by man shall their blood be shed. That's God's word. Yes, it is. But people say, oh, that just sounds so harsh. Does it? You take the harshness out of it. So what are they doing? Hell under fire? If you take the harshness part about hell out of it, people make the jokes about partying there. But it's no party. A common world statement. A loving God would never send people to hell. Loving. That means that in Scripture, that's not warm, fuzzy, emotional stuff. You know, oh, I did love you. No, like goosebumps. You didn't give me goosebumps because I love you so much. Oh, didn't make you sick to hear it nowadays from people. Sad. But, oops. Happy birthday, Faye. 52 years with your husband. That wasn't the birthday part, was it? There you go. Loving. It's not warm and fuzzy and emotional, but holy, righteous, just. Okay, God is a holy, righteous, just God. He loves us, but there is punishment for the one who mocks the blood of the Lamb. And the warning is there. The stop signs are everywhere. The red flags are everywhere. God built the wall to keep us from going over. It said, don't go over that wall. There's evil on the other side. So therefore, he said, be careful, because there is a punishment related to the sin. What sin can send you to hell? Oh, let me name them. No, you can't name but one. Only one sin that will ever cast a person to hell. What is it?
Not accepting Jesus.
That's right, unbelief. The sin of unbelief. That's the unpardonable sin of our day. The unpardonable sin spoken of, it you'll see during Jesus' time, that particular unpardonable sin could only be committed while Jesus was walking on planet Earth. That's the sin against the Holy Spirit. When they said that Jesus is raising the dead from the power of Beelzebub, they had sinned the unpardonable sin. They attributed a work of God, the Son of God, they attributed that work to the devil himself. There was no forgiveness for that sin. Unforgiven sin today is not the sin of our stupid existence. And man, do we have them, a multiplicity of them. The sin that casts to hell is the sin of unbelief. Well, I need to be punished for the sin of my life. I can't see these people, I need to, would you take a whip and hit me with it? No, but you keep talking like that, I'll take a hammer and use it on you. Don't you understand that is not the love of God? The love of God reaches right into who you truly are. And he said, it is through the blood of my Son that forgiveness is given to you. Accept that forgiveness and be saved. Find that peace, but don't ever mock the blood of the Lamb. Bad mistake. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell, for one thing. Ezekiel 33:11. As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of a wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. That sound pretty simple? All I want you to do is turn from your wicked way and live. I take no pleasure. When people will talk about, you're going to go to hell, and they said that with a smile on their face. Well, that professing Christian that says that with a smile on their face got some problems. That's nothing to smile about. Don't you ever condemn a soul to hell. Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever point at that person and say, you are doomed, you're going straight to hell. That is not your call. My call is this. Your call is this. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Let me tell you why you don't have to go to hell. Let me show you how you can live and find that peace you're looking for. 2 Peter 3:9. God does not want anyone to perish, so he is giving more time for everyone to repent. People say, I wonder why the Lord didn't come back. Why doesn't he go ahead and hurry up and come so I can get out of this? Or why, you sissy? You don't want to live life because you're tired of the aches and the pains and the burdens of life. There's people out here that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior that are doomed for hell. And God himself says he's extended the time. Get them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from a world of sin. And there's a song about that. If they're not, Brother Randy, write it. It ought to be. The real question is this. Why would a loving God force non-believers to go to heaven? That's your question. Why would a living God force non-believers to go to heaven? They don't want to go. They don't want to have anything to do with God in this world. Why would you force them to go to heaven in the world to come? Hell is simply getting what a non-believer has said all of their life, that they want no God. Listen to what a person is really doing when they fail to respond to God's offer of salvation. Hebrews 10:29. Think how much more terrible the punishment will be for those, here it is, who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant as if it were common or unholy. Such people have insulted and enraged the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to his people. Think of that. Think of the importance that the blood of Christ not only plays in our life here on earth, but plays throughout eternity. We're always going to be talking about the blood. We're always going to be taking what we call communion with God throughout eternity. Lord Jesus said, we're not going to take of this again until we come together in my kingdom. We're going to be observing the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper throughout eternity. We're always going to remember what? The blood. We're always going to remember the blood. And for those who don't want to remember the blood and who mock the blood, they don't have to worry about it. They're not going to be around. God will not force them. But I am compelled by the love of God and by the power of God to lead all that I can to Christ. I'm not going to play around with all these penny ante sins that everybody keeps wanting to talk about. Oh, you got rough with that individual. Shame on you. Oh, you were so gruff. Why, Gene fussed at the preacher the other day. Gene's been fussing at this pastor ever since he'd been here. And she straightens him out when she calls his hand on stuff. But think of it this way. Don't we understand that as Christians, we are obliged to God to take the same story that saved us to the world that's not saved? And I keep restating this time and time again. How is the world going to know if we don't tell them? The lost world doesn't know Jesus. I know Jesus. I know the story. I ought to be excited over the story. And I am excited over the story. I stay excited over the story. I even get excited in the pulpit ever so often about the story. Because it's the true story. It's the facts. To deny hell is to deny the love, mercy, holiness, justice, grace of God. Roman number 3. The grace of God saves from the penalty of hell. God never prepared hell for you and me. Page 5. He never prepared hell for you and me. Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, or you who work iniquity, in the old English, into the eternal fire, and now listen to it, which had been prepared for the devil and his angels. Never was created for the human being. The human being was offered eternal life from the beginning. We were given, folks, a Garden of Eden, a perfect place to live. What did the human race do? Messed it up. Ah. If there is no hell, or everybody's going to heaven, why the cross of Jesus Christ? How could a loving God send his son to die on the cross when he didn't have to? Hell is exactly what Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. He took my hell. He took the sins of the entire world and experienced for us being totally separated from a loving God. Now again, this is often overlooked at the cross. See, the ultimate of punishment Jesus had to take. Never, sin, whether time doesn't exist with God, but never, ever, had Jesus ever been separated from God the Father. But he had to experience that total separation from his Father in order to set us free. And he cried out, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? Think of the hell he was taking on for us. Never had he ever experienced separation from God the Father. And in that instance, it is finished. I've done it. And we should not honor the Christ who's done that for us and respect his blood, what he has given for us. Most people believe basically two things, if they do believe in hell, about who is going there and who is not. The non-Christian view is this. Rule number one, the good people go to heaven. Rule number two, the bad people go to hell. If good people went to heaven, heaven would be empty. You got it? There wouldn't be any human beings there. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. Why do these people come up with this garbage? All I've lived a sinless life since I was saved. And I keep wanting to say, let's do a little more baptizing. Let me hold you under a little longer till more bubbles come up or something. You missed the focus here. Whoever accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will enter heaven, period. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed week.